Blog Talk Radio.
Saints, you all forgive me. Take what you can and leave what you can't. That word is from the Bible, too, by the way, I'd have you know. Listen. You don't have to wait for the church. And I'm going to urge you from this moment on, stop waiting for the church. That's the one of the problems with the church. They are in a hold mode. They've got God on hold. God is saying, I want to give it to you now. Now faith is. Winding up now. I got about 10 minutes. I got to do a little preaching too. What does the book of Hebrews say? Now faith is. But the church has got God on hold. They've got blessings on hold. They've got prosperity on hold. They've got money on hold. They've got heaven on hold. They've got Jesus on hold. Then, yeah, he's coming back someday. They got him on hold. They are behind excitement, way over there in Revelation. John saw the heavenly city. Already saw it. You waiting for it. You're hoping for it. But I, John, I've seen it already. I saw it coming down from God out of heaven. Adorned as a bride, prepared. I like that word, prepared. You know, with a paring knife, you cut things out. God's already cut out your blessing. You in the church have got God on hold. You put it over yonder. I don't guess we've got that tape here. Maybe it'll bring it tomorrow night. God's private telephone number. Some of you got it on hold. Well, he ain't here. He's up there. I know he's coming. I don't know when. But I, John, I didn't wait for that. I'm not waiting for y'all who waiting for Jesus. I, John, saw past tense, way over there on the Isle of Patmos, 2,000 years ago. I saw the heavenly city, the new Jerusalem, the new state of consciousness, a new realization, a new demonstration coming down. Church and religion and the preachers have got you all so busy trying to get to heaven that you can't see that heaven wants to come down to you. Now, you do what you want to do, but I'm not trying to get to heaven. I'm calling heaven down. Let me hear you say, heaven! Come on down here. 310 Riverside Drive.
310 Riverside Drive.
At 103 Street.
At 103 Street.
Now I'm going to have you put your address in there. You. You pastors, you've got to put at least two addresses. Your church address, your home address, any address where you want some heaven. Here we go. Come on, let me hear you say heaven of healing.
Of healing.
Heaven.
Heaven
of good health.
Of good health.
Heaven.
Heaven
of the joy of the Lord.
Of the joy of the Lord.
Heaven.
Heaven
of success and prosperity.
Of success and prosperity.
Money heaven. This is where you want it to come. What's your mailing address number that you...
4702 Barrington Road.
Oh, hallelujah. I got 4.5 minutes. Be seated. I don't know what I had you standing up for. Now, that's money on the spiritual level. On the way down. Physics now. I don't want to use that heretical term, metaphysics. People are afraid of that, but it simply means above the physical. No more. And it comes from the metaphysical, the spiritual heaven to the realm of mental idea. That's in the mental psychic realm. The vibrations are coming down. And then at a certain oscillation of vibration, I'm not going to tell you what the number is yet. A certain number of cycles per second, that heavenly idea, which is invisible, becomes visible as whatever you have called down. I remember in the Pentecostal church, we used to sing Jesus on the main line? Well, that's wonderful good news, but it ain't good enough because you got to tell him what you want. All right, Scott Williams, give him a great big hand. Tell us on the material level a definition for money.
On the material level, hallelujah. Money is a measure of wealth. It is something with intrinsic value, and it's a medium of exchange whereby buyer-seller transactions are taking place.
All right. Now that's on the material level. But remember, it begins where? In heaven, on the spiritual level. And proceeds down to the mental, psychic plane. You see, when it gets to the mental, a psychic plane, something else happens. On the psychic plane, an idea contacts whoever and whatever are necessary on earth to bring about the manifestation of that idea. Remember the old spiritual, don't wonder about him. God works a wonder. Don't wonder about him. And God's going to bring you in contact with people that you never met. from the east and the west and the north and the south. Whatever is necessary for that idea. Because as it passes through that mental psychic level, God prepares it. In Jacob's ladder, we see the prayer, the request going up as angels into heaven. Those angels disappear into heaven and come back down the ladder, bringing into manifestation the angel thoughts that you've set up. That's all I can say tonight. God bless you. Bless you. Let's hear it. Angels are God's thoughts passing to man. They're not just these little limp wrists, namby-pamby, sissified things that they've been drawing for thousands of years. A little weak angel like that could never have sprained Jacob's leg. He was wrestling with his thought. God sent it. God sent him a powerful thought. Like some of you preachers tonight, you've heard some powerful thoughts, but you're going to have to wrestle with them. Because your members can't stand them. And God sent Jacob a powerful angel thought. He's wrestling with it. He said, listen, but I'm not going to let you go till you bless the soul. But he said, let me go. Now, what does that tell us?
But this is Hindsight Radio. I represent it. The information station changing the nation. Although them again, we will never, never, never trust. Them not know what them do. They go to yai while I'm sticking like glue. Blinking green while I'm plotting for you.
Echo through the ghetto, sick Michael Mann trying to pull strings like Geppetto. While black people always be the ones to settle. March through these streets like Soweto.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Truth Tuesday Show with your host, Akeem Hill, here on Hindsight Radio, the information station changing the nation. Hope everybody's doing great out there. Thanks for listening. I'm doing well. Of course, weekly you have to deal with challenging situations. It's, you know, you look at them as opportunities. Got a couple of projects coming up. Well, we got a webinar this Saturday on May the 30th at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, and that's going to be to show you guys how to put your name in proper status. Yes, you got a couple of statuses that you need to fix. One is, who are you? Where are you from? What's your nationality? The other one is that name. What status is it in? Is it in slave status or master status? Which one? Of course, when you enter the courtrooms, they got it in slave status. You're going to have to let them know you're not a slave. There's something. Let's pull up the Articles of Confederation real quick. You know, while I'm speaking on that. And this is the part, I've read this plenty of times. And I've always just overlooked this, but I knew I would have to address it eventually. And I'm going to touch on it just a little bit. Articles of Confederation, I'll put the link in here in the chat. And so you can follow along. Peace. Jason, Marco, Martise, I see y'all in the chat. A few other people, Stripped in One, Love Italia, the first one, JL, Solar Landlord. Yeah, I see all you guys there. I used to, you know, when I first did my Tuesday show, I used to give shout outs to everybody that was in the chat that I could see. And KML, I can't, it looked like KMLLC. Not sure how to pronounce that. Forgive me if I screwed that up, and to everybody on the phone line. All right, so I got this Articles of Confederation. And this, you know, the first thing, of course, says the style of the Confederacy shall be the United States of America. But there's a major part of this that should have been addressed that I never addressed. And let's look at it real quick. Let me skim it real quick because I'm kind of, this is a little off of where I wanted to be. But there's something in here that points to something to let you know your status. This is section 4 of this Articles of Confederation. It says the better to secure and perpetuate mutual friendship and intercourse among the people of the different states in this union. The free inhabitants of each of these states, listen carefully, paupers, vagabonds, and fugitives from justice excepted. What does accepted mean? Let's look that up. Accepted. Not included in the category or group specified. So in this Article of Confederation, it's saying paupers, vagabonds, and fugitives from justice accepted. What is a pauper? Let's look that up. Paupers. P-A-U-P-E-R-S. A very poor person. Y'all want to, let's even go even further. A recipient of government relief or public charity. That's a pauper. So you take any type of government relief, you are vagabonds. Let's vagabonds, however you want to pronounce that. Vagabonds. What's the definition of that? A person who wanders from place to place without a home or a job. Wandered about or like a vagabond. Okay, similar. Itinerant, wanderer, nomad, wayfarer, traveler, gypsy, a rascal, a rogue. Okay? So let's start with paupers. Your name in that all caps status, that has put you in pauper status, slave status. Because remember, I read the definition to you guys weeks ago. It's the lowest stripping of someone's nationality and status down to lowest form. You are a pauper, okay? If you are accepting that in any correspondence, any court document, you're accepting that. Indigent, these are synonyms. Bankrupt, insolvent, beggar, mendicant, down and out. Which was startling and profound, a recipient of government relief or public charity. You understand? So all of you that went in and applied for different things to get relief because we had COVID-19 issues, they are putting you in pauper status. That's where you're going to look at it, at you. So according to this docket, you're not included in the better to secure and perpetuate mutual friendship and intercourse among the people of different states in this union, the free inhabitants of these states, paupers, vagabonds, and fugitives from justice accepted, shall be entitled to all privileges and immunities of free citizens of the several states. And the people of each state shall free ingress and regress to and from any other state and shall enjoy therein all the privileges in trade and commerce subject to the same duties, impositions and restrictions on the inhabitants thereof respectively. See? So this is why they don't let you know that you have to set up a trust to not be viewed as a pauper. They don't let you know this. That's why they gave you the 9-digit number called the Social Security number to use. That's a benefit. You use that, you are considered a pauper. You don't have any rights according to the Articles of Confederation. Nothing. So as long as you're identifying with that, you are excluded. You are accepted. Accepted, E-X-C-E-P-T-E-D, not accepted. Accepted.
Oh.
You see? So I got a lot of calls from people and emails from people that are supposed to, long time now, you know, I understood some of the people that were new to the game, you know, but some of the old heads, yeah, you know, get that money, get that money. Y'all know if y'all get that loan, that small business loan money from the government, saying that you have a small business, they're going to be looking at you to see what you do with that money, right? And they're going to come back in the rents. There's always an accountability when it comes to taking money from them. Yeah, I could have filled that out and got a, you know, easy 15 grand, 10 grand, you know, or they would have gave that. But then that, and how they give you the money is through direct deposit. That gives them jurisdiction over your account. You see? And that leads me into what I'm going to talk about. You know, IRS issues subpoenas. We're going to see if that's good. But before I go into that, I'm working on a major, major project. A major project. I will not tell you the details of this project. I've been given a nudge and a push to do something a long time, and I started it. I actually finished part of it over the weekend, you know. What it actually is going to be, or what I'm doing, will be revealed when it's complete. And I'm hoping to have it completed within 90 days, probably have it done in sooner time. I'm just being conservative. Somebody said the audio went off. Can y'all hear everybody? Somebody tell me in the chat if you can hear or text me. Oh, maybe that's his audio. Good. Thank you. Thanks, Marco. When I reveal it, what it's going to be and what it's going to do, it will get accomplished. It will be finished. Like I said, I would say about 25% of it is complete already. If I can not be lose focus, I'll get it complete sooner. Of course, when you're doing something major, things come at you to distract you. You just got to be strong enough not to allow it to distract you. One of the things I was pondering, which, you know, over the weekend, which led me into the project, was there is only one true God. Now, what I'm about to say, I'm not going to tell you who that is, you know. You're going to have to figure that out for yourself, but I'll say this. Most people have the false belief that they know God, believe God, or they know who where God is, what he's doing, what his will is. You know, we've been, that information has been pushed on us for centuries, thousands of years, not just centuries, thousands of years. Before the Christian faith, there was other faiths. There was Judaism, which is still around. We all know that, you know, so-called Jesus was not a Christian. That was created after his death, about 200 years or so. You know, we all believe, a lot of us believe we know who God is. But see, I have to give you a dose of reality. Do you really know who God is, or do you just know a concept of God? Let's look at that. Because all of us been told since we were children, if you've been living in here, some form of some deity, God, Jehovah, Yahweh, Elohim, Jesus, and so many other names out there. I got a book of the names of gods, and it's a lot of them. Oh, we got one Bible. It's a Bible, and it's the names of God, and in that Bible, it just it replaces Lord with the different names of God. But I'm not here to debate which name is the right name. I'm just here just to merely state the fact you don't know who God is. Only thing you really know is a concept of God, a concept given to you from birth through your religious ideologies, through your religious instruction books, the Bible, which has been revised more than you can count. By the way, I have this 1611 400th anniversary edition of the King James Version. I have that book, the original reproduction of that Bible. And it's, and when I say original reproduction, it's in its original form, or a copy of its original form, which the Bible stands about a foot and a half tall, and about, I want to say about 8 inches. It's thick. Let's just put it like that. It's not a Bible you could just tote around with you and hold and open up and read. To be honest with ourselves, do we really know God? Is it just a concept? Something someone told us was to believe. Or you read the Bible, but most people read the Bible in connection with the already biased feeling of who God is, based on what they were told from their parents, grandparents, and their parents before them, pastors, preachers, and priests, and sometimes rabbis. Really, when you really look at it, where did you get the information about God, who he is, who she is? The only real information you have is based on what we call the Word of God, the Bible. But when I open up the Bible and I look at the beginning of that book, it says copyright in some corporation. It doesn't say God. It doesn't say Jehovah. It doesn't say Yahweh. It doesn't say Jesus. It says a corporation that is formed through a state secretary of state and has got ownership of the name of that company and the copyright of that revision of the Bible. Revision means what? What is revision? What is revision? Definition. You know, I always got to go and read it. I don't just assume. The action of revising. The revise is just similar. Synonyms. Emendation. Correction. Correction. That's interesting. Alteration. Changing. Adaptation. Editing. So if I look at some of these, The synonym for revision is correction. So something had to be corrected. So something was wrong before. So all of the years people were learning something, now we have to change it to make it right. Alteration. So something was altered. Changing something. Adaptation. That's a big one. I'll be wrong in assuming that over the years, different religious scholars, or so-called religious scholars, religious leaders made adaptations to the teachings of the Bible to fit the narrative of today. When I was born in 69, being gay was looked down upon. It was, you had to be in a closet. Until recently, when Obama got elected, they done turned it into a whole movement. Now the churches are holding on to it. They have gay pastors now. You got pastors marrying men. That's what I call an adaptation, a revising, an alteration of the original teachings. So if this is happening now, don't you think that happened thousands of years ago? They've revised and adapted, and what we're saying is right today, in 40 years, they might be saying it's wrong. So that's why I can strongly say with emphasis, who believe in a concept of God. Just because you have a concept of who God is doesn't make him the one true God. And just because you go to the same church with people, you can be in the church with 100 people in the church, and all of them will have a different perception and conception of God. That's why there's always divisions in church. I mean, this is why we even have so many denominations, because of the how Christianity started out. They started changing up the teachings. One group didn't agree with the other group and said, I'm going to go start my group. Now we got Episcopalian, Pentecostal, we got Baptist, Holiness. I mean, the name goes on. I mean, it's so many out there. Now, which seems to be the fad, now it's non-denominational. So you're going to have to be honest with yourself. Do I really have the true God? Do I even know who the true God is? Since all of these divisions have taken place over the years. And that's a big question. But there is only one true God. In that very book that has been revised thousands of times, they still left the truth in it. And the clues were there. But because of the teachings, they always had you looking somewhere up in the sky. Sky God to come rescue you. He's going to come one day. You're going to get rid of all of the bad people, send them off to hell. And we're going to be in a paradise or go to heaven, whatever your ideology is or whatever you believe in. So that has a lot to do with my project I'm working on. But I just wanted to share that. Most people don't know who the true God is, but they do believe in a concept of God, to be precise. And in any type of belief system, you must be precise in order to get remedy. And if you're not precise, you're not getting remedy. This is why you can go to church for many years and still be stuck in the same place you were in when you started, still lost and confused. All right. Well, I'll let that rest right there until a later date. All right. Let's get into this whole subpoena thing. The reason why I'm doing this, because we're talking about subpoenas, is because we have entities who send out subpoenas or summonses, and basically they're not enforceable by any law. You know, they'll send out, you know, the three-letter boys, the ones who like to take your money out your check, will send some summons to your bank that give me all the records. And I have an example of one, and I'll just, I can't show it to you, but I'll just give you an idea of what it looks like. It says on it summons, and they got the seal, the treasury, then it says Internal Revenue Service. So you know the Internal Revenue Service is not a judicial branch of the government. So they're not someone who can officially issue a summons and it be enforceable. And it has on here the Commissioner of the Internal Revenue Service, Internal Revenue, to this, and it's saying what it wants. Now, in the subpoena, it has no laws. It just said, send these things here, no laws to support. Now, what they did attach to it was the provisions of the Internal Revenue Code. The code. We all know that the original code and law are two different things, right? We do know that. I hope y'all know that, right? But most people who are not learned in these fields will look at this and like, oh. Okay. Now, let's go to, I'm going to give you all this link in a second. Let me find it. I had it up here. Here it is. Is this it? Rule 4 of Federal Rules of Civil Procedure. Rule 4. And that's summons. What a summons is supposed to look like. Here it is. Putting it in the chat. What a summons is supposed to look like. Rule 4. So, now I just kind of, let me just go over it again. I described to you what I saw, what I'm looking at. It's got the demands it wants. Now, of particular attention who signed it. It was digitally signed by some name, and the name of that person is group manager. Then it was signed also by the revenue agent. None of these people are judges, not even in an administrative form. They're that. You know, when you look at this stuff, you say, what? This is, they just put summons. So basically, this is an invitation. I'm just letting y'all know straight off. This is an invitation to Jedi mind trick you into giving up information. But these particular summonses were issued to the person's bank, not to them directly. And the bank will see this and just give up the goods. So you're going to have to respond to this. Right? Now, summons. A, contents and amendments. So I'm reading from Rule 4, Federal Rules of Civil Procedure. It's in the chat. It says, one, contents. A summons must, A, name the court and the party. Now, I didn't read any court on here. They want the people to come to the IRS building, to Internal Revenue Service, and then the address. That's not a court. Okay? Name the court and the party. Be directed to the defendant. It was directed to the bank, not whoever, to a third party. C, state the name and address of the plaintiff's attorney, or if unrepresented, of the plaintiff. So where's the attorneys who he's got to address? There is none, nothing on here. D, state the time within which the defendant must appear and defend. They do have a date and time. E, notify the defendant that a failure to appear and defend will result in a default judgment against the defendant for the relief demanded. Be signed by the clerk, and G, bear the court seal. So, no seal from the court, nothing. So, basically, they put on their summons to fool someone into thinking that it's official. See, yeah, y'all understand something. No bank should be issuing anything to any third party without your consent or a court order from a court of competent jurisdiction. You have a right to due process. So any type of summons, you get to do a motion to quash the summons. Now, interestingly enough, they do address that. If you don't agree with the summons, it says here, general direction, you must file your petition to quash in the United States District Court for the district court where the person summoned resides or is found. So it's saying most people don't read this far down. So the person had a right to do a petition to quash the summons. Name the person or entity to whom the notice is directed as the petitioner. Name the United States as the respondent. State the basis to the court's jurisdiction as required by Federal Rule of Civil Procedure. See Internal Revenue Code, Section 7609. Now, saying that this is governed by Federal Rules of Civil Procedure, and they did not even follow that rule when they made up the summons. You see? So they're saying doing a motion to quash, but this didn't come from a court. So how do I follow a motion to quash? Okay, let's start at the top here. It says, close the copy of a summons served by the IRS to examine records made or kept by or to request testimony from the person summoned. If you object to the summons, you are permitted to file a lawsuit in the United States District Court in the form of a petition. So they're saying you got to file a lawsuit. They're not going to do the right thing, but they want you to go to court and file a lawsuit, which they should have done in the first place. See, they tried to circumvent the Constitution. See, and what does the Constitution say about these things? Let's go to the Illinois Constitution. In Section 2, it says, due process and equal protection. No person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor be denied the equal protection of the law. So they're acting in the court of law. They didn't go to court to get the summons. That's what you're supposed to do. They are skipping a major step. Then it says, Section 6, searches, seizures, privacy, and interception. The people shall have the right to be secure in their person, houses, papers, and other possessions against unreasonable searches, seizures, invasions of privacy, or interceptions of communications by eavesdropping devices or other means. No warrant shall issue without probable cause, supported by affidavit, particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seen. See, what I suspect, they couldn't go to a court and get an actual summons, so they had to write this up as if, you know, it's official. Official if you don't address it and point out the defects. If you ignore it, it becomes official. So the reason why they tried to make it up this way, because they could never walk into the court and say, I just need 10 years of bank statements just to see if I could find something wrong here. No good judge would issue that. You got to have a grievance to get that. So here's my grievance, and here's the evidence of the grievance. I need a summons. But they have no evidence. This is the reason why they're trying to go and manufacture or get some, because they don't make up something once they get it. So we got to put a stop to that. Basically, you can use these sections I just read here, and you can use the color of law statement, you know, acting under color of law, denying you a right protected by the Constitution. Simple. You know? I've seen so many. This is the first time I've seen one where they went to the bank and tried to do it. Usually I've seen them when they go after the individual. I've seen so many of these. And all you do is write a simple letter to the bank, basically telling them, you can give up my information. You don't have my permission to give it up without a court order. Pursuant to the Constitution, this is the Constitution say, and this is what you are supposed to follow. You give it up, you place yourself in a position of being sued for invasion of my privacy, giving up my personal information to a third-party entity without a court order. Just like I told you, when they tow your car, just come and get your car off your property, they need a court order. Same thing with repos. They need a court order. Counties let them steal a car from you. That's why they got to sneak and get it, because they know you have a right to protect your property. That title to that car is in your name. You are the official owner of that car. Same thing with a bank account. Your name or your, you know, you have an interest in that bank account. It is your property. No one has a right to just come and say, I just want to see your records, just so they can fabricate or bring some type of accusation against you. See, they want to skip steps. They have to see, in order to bring an accusation, they must witness a crime. They don't witness anything. They really can't bring it, you know, they can't get these summonses and warrants properly. And they don't ever witness anything. You know? So, back to what I said in the beginning, a lot of you have, some of you have taken some of that money. I'm not talking about the stimulus money. I'm talking about them that small business loan. Some people had, you know, all of a sudden they had a business as soon as all of this jumped off. You know, it wasn't even running a business before that. And they think that's easy money. I hope, I'm not saying something will happen, but, you know, if you did that, just be prepared for the, you know, just in case. So you have your ducks in a row so that you can defend yourself properly. You don't think the government is not aware that people will try to all of a sudden create a business just to get the money? Whatever money is thrown out there at people, they're well aware that people get greedy-minded. You're not the only one who come up with that idea. And guess what they're going to do? They're going to come at you. And they usually get one, three times the amount that they gave you. So you got to ask yourself, is it all worth that? Now, if you have a legitimate business, if you've been running and it really hurts you, do it. But I know several people that didn't, they wasn't doing nothing with the business, anything, and didn't really need it. But see, people look at their money and don't think about consequences. So they worry about the consequences later. You know, they'll be knocking, hey, Akeem, this is what happened. They'll be getting consultations. So it kind of keeps me busy and relevant when people do stuff like that anyway. So, you know, it's kind of good for business. Oh, right. They can't prove a tax deficiency. They really can't. Remember, doing a tax return is a voluntary action, and it's actually giving evidence against yourself. You know, like they come, oh, I want bring your books. Or even if a court ordered you to bring your books to the courtroom, you know, me simply, I would label it books and records, put some, you know, couple of blank pieces of paper here. This is my books and records. But you got a problem here. Constitution says I cannot give evidence against myself. I followed the order. I brought them to the court, but they didn't have them all taped up and sealed. Hey, Constitution says I brought it in. I brought it in here. You said books and records. Yeah, books and records. I just brought that. So y'all got to be thinking, you know, gave y'all strategy. All right. Reminder, this Saturday, name change webinar. It's only $50. Listen, y'all need to get on it so y'all can know how to do this. It's really, I'm creating a whole curriculum, you know, the beginning, the middle, the end, all of the things you need to do in the beginning. I'm creating the whole thing of and organizing everything so y'all can have it. So, yes, name change is one of those things that I'm adding to, along with birth certificate authentication and what else is there? Putting the affidavit with it. A couple other things. Doing your POA, power of attorney. Oh, and your passport, definitely. Correcting that passport as a national. All right. I'm about to take a break. Put your hand up. Press the one button if you have a question. Like always, this has become the norm. Once I'm done with the questions, that'll be the end of the show. Lately, I've been doing short shows, but I've been giving you powerful information in those short. So, I will be back. All right, peace. I'm back. All right, press that one if you got a question. But while I was taking that little break, I decided to do some reading. I'm telling you, although the Bible's been revised many a times, I told you this truth is still in there. And I've been telling you guys for a long time, the Bible's been telling you guys to set up y'all trust. And I'm going to show you right here in Romans chapter 11, the remnant of Israel. That's the subject of that chapter. But I'm going to skip down to 25 and then read through that. I thought y'all should know, this is kind of reinforcing why these trusts are important. He says, I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery. See, they're saying it's a mystery. Brothers and sisters, so that you may not be conceited, Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of the Gentiles has come in. We all know who the Hebrews are, who Israel they're talking about, right? We're talking about the true indigenous people that here. On this land, right? Let me be specific. A lot of people want to claim to be their Israel, their Israel, they're not. Now, in part, they're Israelites and Hebrews for the sake of they come through those people. They came here by way of those people, but they are not the originals, okay? Until the full number of the Gentiles have come in, and in this way, all Israel will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer will come from Zion. He will turn godlessness away from Jacob, and this is my covenant. We all know a covenant is a trust. And with them, when I take away their sins. Okay? As far as the gospel is concerned, they are enemies for your sake, but as far as election is concerned, they are loved on account of the patriarchs. But God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. Now, where have you heard that term, irrevocable? He's saying that the trust is irrevocable. There is no taking away of this trust. Just as you, who were at one time disobedient to God, have now received mercy as a result of their disobedience, what it's saying is because you have forsaken your one true God and walked away, and not taking advantage of your trust, the irrevocable trust that was left by your ancestors. You have not received the benefits. You have not become the beneficiary. Well, let me put it like this. You have not made yourself known as a beneficiary because you are always and forever a beneficiary. So they too have now become disobedient in order that they too may now receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you. But God has bound everyone over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all. 33. Listen carefully. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgment and his past beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? I've read to y'all in the Black Law Dictionary what mind is, right? Or who has been his counselor, who has ever given to God, and that God should repay them. So what does that statement mean? Number 35 says, who has ever given to God and that God should repay them. So you must create your trust given over to God so that you may be repaid. All your debts. What is sin? The sin is equal to debt. So any debt is sin. The only way to be forgiven is through the trust. For from him and through him and for him all are all things to him be the glory forever. Amen. I just wanted to add that in before I take my calls. All right, let's take some calls. Y'all think about it. You should go back and read that whole chapter. All right, let's take a call. Man, we got one caller. All right, soon. It's going to be a short night. Thank you very much. Let's take this one caller. If I don't get a call before this call get off, I'll see y'all next week. 253-476-2267. There's a lot of y'all on the line.
Very much.
Maybe y'all watching TV and listening at the same time. 253-476. You there? Hello?
Yes, I am. Peace to the God.
Hey, how you doing? Peace to God. What's going on, brother?
Doing great, doing great. I don't really have a question. I have some I'm supposed to bring to your attention. I was asked to ask you, the angels want you to consider putting together a template to give to the people that they can give a professional notification notice that the bank or your employer are not allowed to give out any of your funds without your express consent. I was supposed to ask you
right.
just to ponder on that.
Actually, I'm working on that. Actually, I'm specifically working on that. I got half of it done right now. I'm doing
okay.
it for somebody right now. So, yeah, you're on target. You're right on point. Yes, I'm doing
okay.
that right now. Yeah.
Okay, great. All right. Sounds
thank
great.
You.
Okay, all right. Keep up the good work. All right, peace to the God.
All right, thank you. So people put their hands up. Got a couple callers more. 612-458.
Bless up, peace, Akeem. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Peace. How are you?
I'm blessed.
Great. Good to hear. Good to hear. All right. How can I help you?
I had two quick questions. First question is, I'm not sure if I could come up with the $150 by the time you do the name change seminar. So, could I pay you like a installment towards it, and then if I don't make it, if I'm not able to make
change.
It to that, then I can apply that toward something else.
I don't have a webinar that's $150 for. It's only $50.
Oh, it's only $50.
Yeah.
Maybe I misheard it before then. That's what I have actually available. So I
should
be
able
to. I
never said.
I
said it would be only about $50. Yeah.
Oh.
$50. For that webinar.
Okay. That's on the 30th?
Yes, in a few days, yes. On the 30th.
Tell me what URL I got to go to again to sign up.
AkeemL.com. AkeemL.com.
Okay. And then
all right, what's your second question?
When I looked into trying to put a vehicle into a trust entity before, and like I drew up a pure trust,
you had a revocable trust, right? That's what you're trying to say.
I don't think it was revocable, but I don't know if it was revocable, actually. But
if it doesn't say
anyway,
revocable in it, then it's revocable. Go ahead.
It may have said it. I had to look. But basically, the insurance was going to go up, they were telling me, because they were saying that the insurance companies were saying they were required to put any kind of a trust owned, piece of property into a commercial policy automatically, and that, obviously the commercial
Who
policies
said yes? Who
are
said,
typically
was
more expensive.
Or
that was no, that was the insurance companies. Progressive and Geico said the same thing.
We went to the I know someone personally who put their cars in trust, and it went down. It went lower, so I don't know who you dealing with. But
do you know if they got in
on the type of trust you set up? This trust was a special needs trust, So they usually look at the driving record of the trustee to say what they're gonna do.
Do you know if they have insurance? Okay. Did they have insurance with one of the major carriers? And can you specify which, if you know? And
you mentioned
one of them already.
You already mentioned one of them. I don't tell their business. I'm not going to tell their specific business, but you mentioned one of them.
Yeah, it was one of them carriers.
I think you just got
this
information.
How long ago was it?
It's recently, bro.
Recently.
Usually when you put it in a trust and it's done properly, the insurance usually goes down because it's an entity. It's not attached to someone's driving record. Now
I do have it.
Now the DMV will need a driver's license to, you know, to register the car. But it's, it actually, because I know specifically their insurance was higher because of their personal driving record. But once it went into that trust and they were the trustee, it went down. Got cheaper.
Well, that's good to know. The only other thing I wonder is, it, do you have any idea if they were in into a commercial policy or a personal policy when they had the trust?
I don't know if it's commercial or personal, whatever. I know it went down.
Do you know if they already had owned the vehicle or in the title, and then they transferred the title into a trust, or did they put it into a trust?
And that's enough, dude.
All right,
it went down. That's enough. You trying to look at all of this? You set up your trust wrong. I can tell you that right now. I know you did.
Well, I didn't even set it up because I wasn't confident, so I didn't do it.
So you, the reason why they tell you you're going to do a commercial property, you didn't even show them the trust declaration.
Right.
You
and then the bank said for me to. The bank told me for me to have an account in a under a trust. That I would have to provide them the full trust, not just the front page, and I didn't like that idea. Exactly.
You're going to the wrong bank.
Right?
Wrong bank. You got to keep shopping. When you hear the wrong thing somewhere else, you go to other places. But I'm telling you, usually when it goes into a trust, it goes down. Now, whether it's a commercial or residential policy or personal policy, I can't tell you what type of trust, what it is. Go ahead.
But you know, people that already had acquired some property and then put it into a normal registration under their, you know, name or the straw man or whatever, and then they transfer it to a truck later?
Listen, bro. I'm not answering none of those questions. I will tell you this. I went into the dealership where I saw a check written out cash or a check written out for a car, and it was done with a trust. And from start to finish.
What if someone already put a car into their name, normal style? Do they have any extra problem?
You have to sell the car like I just did mine. I had to sell my car to my trust or gift it to the trust.
Convey it?
You can gift it or convey, whatever you want to call it, or sell it. One or the other.
Yeah. Is it called units of interest at all?
Let me do this for you. This is the best advice I can give you. When you get off this phone, go study trust law. Go study that. Because you taking bits and pieces, and just your questions tell me you don't really know exactly what you're doing.
Right.
All right, go back and study.
I appreciate it.
Getting pieces of information to try to draw your car in a trust, and then a lot of people did that, and they ended up in trouble with the DMV. You have a good one, too.
Right.
That's so frustrating to hear. Y'all just hear a little bit of information. Y'all go run with it and screw yourself up, and then y'all get the concept, oh, well, this is what they're saying, this is what they're doing. Listen, dude, when I go deal with these people, I already have my facts laid out. So when they give me some BS, I can tell them that's BS. All right, let's go on to 443-703.
Peace
to God. I barely listen to the show. 443-703. What's up, man? Peace.
Peace to God. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm good, man.
You can
thanks
tell
for
he
that.
He don't really listen to the show because he came on asking me for $150 for something that I clearly said several times that was $50.
Yeah, early tonight.
So, right. I said it tonight, and I said it 2 weeks ago, and I sent out an email about it, like, 150, what are you talking about? Where did you get that one? He didn't even know my website. That's what right, Marco, thank you. That's what, so this is why I was short with him, because I'm like, you coming in here, bits and pieces, going from this place to back that place, and trying to take what I'm teaching and mix it with this stuff, it ain't going to work that way. The trust that I got people setting up, anybody who has gone to speak to the guys that I'm dealing with is official. Official. You get 3 trusts, all of them official, ready to go, get your EINs, everything. All you got to do is add your property. All right, man. What's going on, Dex? What's going on, man?
That's
not much.
Man.
thanks for that lashing I got last week. I appreciate it. I'll be sending you something probably later on this week, a little update on that. I appreciate that.
Okay.
I needed that.
All right, good. No problem. No problem. You know, I don't do it with malice in my heart. I do it to shake. Hey,
sometimes
listen,
we need that, though.
You're about
to go
into battle, brother.
sometimes we need it.
This ain't no game these people playing. This is not a game.
Yeah.
You know?
But I just was calling to say thanks on that note, and I'll be on there this
All
Saturday.
Right, you're welcome.
Other than that, man.
I'm glad
keep
to hear that you appreciate that. You know, some people don't. I run people off with that method, and I don't mind because, hey, you know, you can't take if you can't take me, because there's no consequences coming from me.
Right.
You cannot handle that courtroom.
Nah.
You understand?
Nah, I need that. Sometimes we need it. A lot of people can't take it.
No, but see, that's just training, man. Because the courtroom is brutal. And they try to play you, as you already know. You know, you already dealt with it a little bit. They send you this stuff trying to, and if you're not looking at it carefully, there's a lot of Jedi mind tricks in there.
Believe me, so, it went over my head until I said, hold up.
Right.
Yeah.
You just got to slow down and breathe and say, okay, let me read this thing again and see what is really being said. Now, I gave you a hint last week if you picked up.
I took it. I got it.
If you picked up.
It was subtle,
okay.
But I took it.
It was very subtle.
I understood exactly where he was at.
They changed something in mid-cycle. And
but
then when they said, well, we don't
that.
Have nothing.
Right. I told
I
you
remember.
That before, that the courts
right.
said, oh, okay, I get it. I get what they're doing. Yeah, because you see the
right.
hidden was different than what you sent out, and they changed it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
now,
cool.
Now, they did that to me before, but I wasn't really up on what I'm teaching now. It went over my head back then. And then when you said they did it to you, I connected the dots. I had an aha moment after we got off the phone.
Right.
I said,
yeah.
And then while I was teaching it last week, I said, let me throw this in. I hope he's listening. He'll see what I'm saying. I had, oh, wow, wait a minute. I get it now. They didn't do it. The motion is legit because you are not the guy.
And that's what I was
right.
saying. I'm like, but you treat me as if I am, and then when I hit you that I ain't, it's like, no, you one and the same. So I got
right,
it.
Right, right, now
right.
Now you got it.
Yeah.
Clarity, that's it, man. It's a beautiful thing when you get clarity and you get that epiphany, like, wow, okay. I see these guys. I see you. But
that
to be all reiterated in that webinar I'm going to do on
Saturday.
This is the lowest price webinar I've ever had. Well,
I
had a long time.
Well, I did have one question. But I don't think it can wait. I can't even remember for real because I was really just calling to thank you on that, and then something popped in my head, but it went back out, so it ain't really important. It'll come back up sooner or later.
Okay. All right, man.
Yeah. Peace to God. Thank you, sir. Talk to you
soon. I'm glad you got on. Because I was thinking about you today, I said, well, I wonder how you're doing with that response. But
I'm
feel like it's going good.
Yeah, it's going good.
All right, man. All right, peace.
Thanks. Peace.
All right, no problem. All right, so somebody wants me to elaborate on the shelf corpse. Okay, what is a shelf corpse? Okay, let's talk about that real quick. And then we're going to call it a night. Age shelf corpse. They're all over the place. You look them up. Corporation is also known as a shelf. It's age corporation is a corporation that formed and then put on the shelf where it will age for several years. The company doesn't engage in real business, often has no real assets. So basically, people go and set up corporations and let them sit for at least 2 years, because why? When you go get funding, they want to see 2 years that the business was in existence. Now, what I'm doing is we take those age shelf corps, give you a website. Let me pull up, what it is. what you're going to get. If people want clarity, where is my email on it? Okay. All right. You would get a, your bank account would be set up, your merchant account, that's, you know, what you're going to process your payments through when you, whatever product you're going to sell. Phone system, fax system, website, domain name, 411 directory assistance listing. Why all of that is important? Because when you go for funding, they're going to want to see bank statements. They're also going to want to know, do you have an official phone number? Are you in the 411? We do all of that for you. All of that will be set up showing the legitimacy of your business so that you could, it'll make it easier for you to get funding. Now, with any type of funding, you're going to need a guarantor. Banks are not just giving away money to businesses anymore without a guarantor. So that means if you take the like I got a $3,000 package and you don't, and your credit got to be pretty decent, or your guarantor, whoever you're going to use a guarantor, got to be at least a 700 to get that funded. Some people don't have that ability, so our highest price one will come with that, a Paydex score, everything. So you'll already have those guarantees. All that stuff in place, get your funding, and transact your business. Now, here's where the problem comes from the people who do, who purchase shelf corps. Some people purchase shelf corps to be fraudulent, meaning they'll get the funding, and they go have a party with the money. They're not planning on doing any business. That's fraud. You'll go to jail. Period. This is for people who want to legitimately set up a business and run a business. And they need the money to get started. We're helping you do that. So plan on doing this just, oh, I can get, you know, 20, 40, 50, 100,000, you know, those are small numbers for businesses. But, and you plan on, you know, just going to buy a car and then that's it and just stay screwed alone, that's, you're going to go to jail for fraud. It's called receiving money under false pretenses. So we only want to work with legitimate people who want to do legitimate things. Who's got a business idea they want to, you know, start. A lot of y'all got ideas, and here we are helping y'all do that. And we're doing everything. You get your website, everything done, all in these packages. Website can be taken care of within a day or two. All the other, usually the process from finish takes anywhere from 30 to 45 days, maybe sooner. COVID-19 might slow things down a little bit, but I don't see that as being a problem. All right, so all of you, some of y'all might have lost your job because of this whole COVID-19. Here's your opportunity right here. All right. All right, let's see. You got any more callers, or I'm taking the rest of the night off? All right, okay. Yeah, that's right. Watch the laundromat, because that's basically what they were doing for their clients. That's how they were doing it for them, the laundromat. All right. All right, well, the Divine Connection Show coming up on Thursday with Jessica and Tasia. Friday, my son, I think he missed last Friday. I talked to him. He said he's going to do a show this Friday. Remember, webinar Saturday, 11 a.m. Eastern time. I like to start on time, so everybody that purchased it, you will get your invite to the webinar Saturday morning. I will leave the ability to purchase the webinar up until Friday evening. If you don't see it up there, that means there's no more space. It's a cheap webinar, so quite a few people have already purchased it. So, but I'm only gonna handle but so many people. So I'm going to cut it off at a point. Then you would have to buy the recording. And, of course, the recording is always more than what it was when we did the webinar. All right. Well, y'all have a good night. Peace.
This is Hindsight Radio.
I represent it.
The information station changing the nation.